How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Saturday mornings with Jim Valley, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays with Andrew Zarian. And hey, it is Monday. No, it's Tuesday here on the show. We got a lot to talk about. Well, Monday Night Raw was last night, so of course we've got to talk about that. It was a big Raw. It was a one-year anniversary on Netflix. And we had a world title match. We had a women's tag team title change. We had a signing during a commercial break. A bunch of people almost got killed. We got a lot to talk about from Raw. And that, of course, leads us into NXT New Year's Evil tonight, as well as Dynamite on Wednesday. We'll give you lineups for all of those shows. And we shall talk all of the news. Netflix and WWE expanding their partnership, with Netflix now hosting the WWE PLE library. We'll talk about the signing of Javon Evans. Got a bunch of New Japan notes following the Tokyo Dome on Sunday, Saturday night, Sunday morning, including what's going on with the IWGP title lineage, which we talked about a little bit on Wrestling Observer Radio for subscribers last night. Update on Sonata. We've got the New Year's Eve AEW Dynamite ratings. There are still no Christmas Eve Dynamite ratings. And that tells me it was probably by far the lowest number AEW has ever done, ever. Because we never got any number whatsoever. And New Year's Eve did not do well either. Got NXT numbers from last week. We got some people departing AEW. Update on Will Ospreay. A lot of stuff to get into here today. And it is a free show on all platforms today. So if you like what you hear, you can always sign up. We do 84 shows every month. I do 2 to 3 shows every day. And you can sign up at WrestlingObserver.com to get to the Wrestling Observer newsletter weekly as well. If you want only the audio, you can sign up at Apple, F4WOnline.com/Apple. And if you want the video and the audio, all of the podcasts, both Spotify and YouTube now offer the video of these programs, all of the programs, all on video, F4WOnline.com/Spotify or video.F4WOnline.com. Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Lance Storm is joining us here today. And yeah, by the way, as I noted before the break, if you're one of our subscribers on Spotify, which is $9.99 a month, F4WOnline.com/Spotify, you're now going to get the video of all of these shows. We found that you can upload video to Spotify, not just audio. So if you are a Spotify subscriber, just like YouTube, you can get both the audio only and the video podcast with a Spotify subscription. So check it out, F4WOnline.com/Spotify. We are up on Apple Podcasts as well, YouTube, video.f4wonline.com, and also the main site, WrestlingObserver.com, for the audio, the newsletters, the board, and everything else. So however you're listening to this, sign up today if you want more. It's WrestleMania season starting here soon, so it's the most exciting time of the year. Right, Lance? No sure. One knows excitement like Lance Storm.
Exactly.
Well, we should note, first off here, that I hate saying stuff like this because people get mad at me and they want to know more information, but, like, I don't know any more information, everybody. Somebody on Raw last night, I was told, is in concussion protocol today. It is not Bron Breakker, who landed on his head. Bron Breakker was cleared after the show. It's possible it was CM Punk because that guy landed right on his face on that. He was going for a tope, and Braun was supposed to clobber him out of midair. And I don't know if something went wrong or whose fault or what happened, but that guy went straight down, and his head bounced off the black mats. And they did one spot outside and got back in the ring and went right to the finish. And granted, that was when the show was supposed to end, so it probably was going to be the finish one way or the other. But, I mean, if he wasn't in concussion protocol after that, I would have put him there because that freaking looked brutal.
Kyrie also took a razor's edge.
Oh, yeah, Kyrie.
High concussion percentage move.
Yeah, she landed on the back of her head. Her whole body folded over. She kept doing the match. I mean,
well, everybody did.
I know, but like, if you watched after CM Punk landed on his face, I mean, he looked like he didn't look like he was all there. Kyrie wrestled the rest of the match like she was all there. That doesn't necessarily mean one or the other didn't have a concussion, but man, Punk did not look good after he landed on his face.
And even being in concussion protocol doesn't mean you had a concussion.
Yes, that means they're checking you out. But they did check out Braun, and he was cleared. What happened with that Breakensteiner, Lance? You watched the match.
Yeah, I watched the match, and I watched the clip several times, and it's really baffling to me in that, assuming they were going for the Frankensteiner there and not a counter, it's like Punk specifically put his legs on the outside of the ropes and sat back so his butt was almost on the post, which you cannot take that move from there. That is the wrong position to be in. You can't take the bump from there. And Braun was facing him and watched him do it and then climbed up and did the move anyway. Like, you cannot take that bump with your feet on the outside and sitting that far back. It just doesn't physically work. I find it hard to believe Punk doesn't know that. And again, I watched several angles with clips. It's like Braun was facing him when he put his feet on the outside of the ropes. So it's like he should have known, I can't do my move from here. And they tried anyway, and he landed very, very poorly.
This is one of those things I just got to say real quick that I didn't notice the legs. I did notice Punk having his arms outside Braun Breaker's legs when Braun Breaker actually ran up the ropes.
Well, he's holding them for balance. I think they all do that.
No,
he switched them in time.
Well, he kind of did, but like if you watch this,
he was holding the back of the knees so he didn't fall over standing there.
The second time Braun did it, Punk did not hold his legs for balance. He had his arms down waiting for the Frankensteiner. But anyway, the point is, I mean, if anything, I could see Braun is, you know, he's young and it's a main event and he's all hyped up and it's, he sees the guy's legs in the wrong spot and it's just like, you're taking this move one way or the other, brother. Like, I don't know why your legs are there, but here we go. And unfortunately, you know, God bless CM Punk, but I think even he would tell you he's not the greatest athlete and there was no way he was going with his legs in that
position. Well, it has nothing to do with being a good athlete. It's just you either are in the right position for the move or you're not. And he purposely put his legs on the outside where they're not supposed to be. So it's either they were planning a counter that went wrong or Punk had a brain fart and didn't realize that he's putting himself in a position he can't do the move. And Braun foolishly thought he could do it anyway, despite the fact that the move can't be done from there. And they paid for it.
That was brutal, dude. But yeah, Braun, this is the second time Braun's landed on his head and been cleared. The other was that someone had the idea of that doomsday device, and he's not a guy, you know. That one right there.
But it's funny that the Frankensteiner is a backflip.
I know. But
and the electric chair is a backflip. It's like Kurt Angle. He can moonsault but can't go over the top rope.
Dude, that's exactly what it is, because he also goes over the top like Kurt Angle. He doesn't do the backwards bump over the top rope. He always turns and goes forward. So, like, he can do the Frankensteiner, but he can't go backwards over the top. He apparently couldn't flip over on the, or maybe...
Doomsday.
Well, the Doomsday also, it's like, nowadays, like when the Road Warriors did it, you know, everybody did the flip. Animal would shove the legs and, you know, they would flip over.
There are times when they didn't, though. An animal would hold onto the legs and they'd all bump.
Well, that's my point. Nowadays, it's like 50-50. Sometimes the guy just falls back on his back and sometimes the guy flips. And it's like what you were talking about with that Styles Clash. It's like sometimes I think a move should be, you got to do it one way or the other. You don't want to have it either, because what happens if Braun's up there and he thinks, man, I'm just going to, you know, take a back bump. But then the guy shoves his legs and the other guy hits him and he starts going, like, you got to have, I think you just got to decide. It's a doomsday device. You're going to flip over or you're not. It shouldn't be sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, because.
And I'm also wondering if people are careful enough that they double check. Like, I'm trying to remember who it was. AJ Francis did a Styles Clash to someone on a show, and it was someone, I think it might have been Frankie or somebody, and it's like I made the point of looking at him and going, you know how to take a Styles Clash, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, you Superman, you don't tuck? He's like, yep. I'm like, okay. And it's like, I don't know if everybody thinks when they'll just be like, oh, do the doomsday. It's like, are we flipping or not? It's like, do people take that moment to say? And same thing with, I'll do the Frankensteiner off the top. You know, your legs are supposed to be on the outside, right? It's like, I don't know how many people double check that everybody knows how to take their moves. And I think we need to be careful.
So those were the two big stories outside of title changes and contract signings. We'll do the Raw report here in a while.
Well,
I'll talk about
title changed.
Yeah, I'll talk about Javon's signing here in a moment. But first off, Netflix and WWE are officially expanding their partnership. Netflix now hosts the PLE library. The Peacock deal has expired, and the archive was added to Netflix on January 1st. Hollywood Reporter says it is a multi-year deal. It is the U.S. home for WWE's library of premium live events prior to September 2025. So all of the PLEs are up there, but I think anything that aired on ESPN, so starting with that John Cena-Brock Lesnar match, that will not be on Peacock. That's ESPN property. So everything is just everywhere. And, you know, if you want to go back and watch the Monday Night Wars or the ECW library or whatever, all of the classic content right now is in limbo. A lot of it's on the YouTube page. And, I mean, I think that it should just remain on YouTube. Like, they can make a lot of money with that stuff on YouTube. They could even do like, you know, we do with a, and I think TNA did as well. They had a YouTube channel that was members only. I mean, they could do that if they wanted, or just put it up and monetize it with ads. But right now, the PLEs only, prior to September, are on Peacock. Anything post-September is going to be through ESPN. Got it, everybody? All right, back in a moment with more Observer Live. So they got a lot of people that are heading up to the main roster. Trick Williams is on SmackDown. He's signed there. And Obafemi is going to be signing at some point. They've got all these video packages for him. And Jordan Grace is going to the main roster. That was pretty much announced on the show. And who else is being called up?
There's rumors of
could be Blake
Monroe.
Could be Blake Monroe or Thea Hale, actually. I think we're going to know a lot after what happens tonight.
Whether they switch the title back or not.
On the show, yeah. But another name, obviously, is Javon Evans. And for weeks now, they've been doing a deal where he's a free agent. Will he go to Raw? Will he go to SmackDown? And I just started getting flooded with texts and everything last night. Oh, my God, Brian. Javon Evans signed with Raw during the commercial break. I thought, what? I thought, well, you know what? Hey, they got 2 hours and 26 minutes. I'm sure we'll see a replay of Javon signing with Monday Night Raw, 21 years old.
I didn't see it.
No mention whatsoever. And, of course, in the chat today, everyone's tweeting me. And, you know, apparently I'm like his manager now or something. But I just get tweets and I get emails and I get texts. And then the chat here today, oh, my God. They're trolling you, Brian, or the disrespect of Javon, blah, blah, blah. I want everyone to listen very carefully, okay? Because don't misconstrue this, all right? Javon signing his Raw contract during a commercial break is one of the dumbest things. I mean, my God. I mean, it's Javon, so it's not like like everything they do with him is stupid. It's astounding. Everything they do with Javon Evans, they have to do in the dumbest way possible. And so this is what I think everybody needs to understand. Let me make it clear. I think that signing this guy during a commercial break and not showing a recap on Raw is phenomenally, astoundingly stupid, okay? But what you guys don't seem to understand, and I don't blame you, is that the issue is not disrespect for Javon Evans or trolling me or whatever. The issue is they're stupid. No, listen to me. I heard about this all morning because like people were astounded by my reaction and other people's reaction. After he signed, during the commercial break, they immediately put footage of his signing on social media. And in their minds, this was huge. It was all over Instagram. It was all over TikTok. It was all over Twitter. It was all over social media. It's great. How do you not see this? That's the issue. I keep trying to tell everybody, and no one listens to me. This is gross incompetence, everybody. Everybody wants to think that, you know, they are burying the guy. No. Everything they're doing, they think is getting him over, or they think it's some sort of push, you know, winning the Iron Survivor Challenge and then immediately getting beaten down by a guy that has now disappeared from television, and then immediately catching it on the next show, and then immediately losing his championship match, and then immediately having a final match at NXT on the final show of the year and losing. They think all of this is somehow getting this guy over. This social media push of Javon Evans, great! So anyway, it's always Javon. Like, it's astonishing. I mean,
I do like when things trend.
I mean, my God. Now they've got like some video package they've made that's apparently going to air on Raw over the next couple of weeks. I won't hold my breath, but apparently there's one. So anyway, yeah, for those of you that don't know, which is almost all of you, except apparently those internationally, because there's no commercials on the international feed, Javon Evans has in fact signed to Monday Night Raw.
It didn't air internationally here.
Well, I guess, what feed are you watching? Do you have? Well, you have commercials, right? I think the...
Well, there's the... It goes black for 2 seconds and comes back.
Well, there is an international live feed elsewhere in the world of some sort where you should see the whole show with no commercials. And apparently it aired there.
I watched the whole show with no commercials and it didn't.
No. What I'm saying, Lance, is they air 3 hours uninterrupted.
If you watch live.
Yes. Yes. And those people that see the 2 hours and 26 uninterrupted minutes saw it. Because they see what we don't see during the breaks. They see the whole thing. There are no breaks.
And then they cut it out for the replay.
I guess. So,
and then Dave does his math.
Corey here says, I watched Raw. I had no idea of the signing until Brian said it. You're telling me that you weren't glued to social media during Raw last night to see this footage? Corey, are you kidding me? Jeez. So anyway, he's on Raw now. New Japan. Moving on. So we got a new champion after the Tokyo Dome, which we did not do any of the weekend reviews on Observer Live yesterday, but that's what we have a subscriber area for. Vinny, Craig, and I, and Dave and I, both did full shows on the Tokyo Dome, so if you want to hear those, you can go listen to them. But in the main event, Yota Tsuji, well, the semi-main event, the main event, Tanahashi lost, and they had an hour and 15 minute retirement ceremony for him where the guy just wouldn't leave. But guess what? No one else left either. It was incredible.
Nobody tell Goldberg he got an hour and 10 minutes for retirement ceremony.
He'll be complaining for the rest of his life. But Yota Tsuji beat Takeshita to win the IWGP World Heavyweight title. So he's now a double champion. And then, as he had promised, Tsuji, by the grace of God, has brought back the old IWGP World Heavyweight title belt. Now, I don't care that much about belts, except when belts are really, really ugly. So, like, you know, those old WWF tag belts that look like pennies? Atrocious. And, you know, I still wish they would bring back the Winged Eagle. I hated the spinner belt.
You'll go to your grave.
I will go to my grave. Thank God for Cody Rhodes. He actually got it back for like 2 months, which was one of the best periods of WWE. I think that's why we had a boom period. But anyway, so they had this IWGP Heavyweight Championship belt. And man, this was the coolest looking belt. I mean, it was incredible. And they eventually, I'm trying to remember the whole, they did like a unification match with the IWGP, like the Intercontinental title. They did something. And so what they did was they created a new belt after the unification, okay? Now, fine. You want to make a new belt, whatever. I mean, how many AEW belts have we seen? There's a new belt for every champion. But there's a problem. New Japan also announced that with the creation of this new belt, the lineage of the IWGP title was starting over at zero. People were
talk about
furious.
Dumb.
So first off, you get this atrocious belt that looks like that old Jeff Hardy belt that he had. It's like it's a weird triangle shape, and it's just it's appalling. And it's starting over at zero. So the entire lineage of the IWGP title is just gone into the ether. So horrible. I think this is the main reason for the decline of New Japan over the last several years. Much
it's
like
worse than signing Javon in a commercial.
Oh, it was horrible. So anyway, he has now brought back the old design, and they have announced that they have reconnected the lineage. And so now, the title lineage, I guess, goes all the way back to the beginning. So, hey. Sometimes you make a mistake, and you just got to fix it. And they made a big mistake, and they fixed it. And now we've got a lineage back to the beginning, and we have got a significantly better-looking belt. So,
like the John Cena heel turn. Let's just admit it was wrong and stop doing it.
Well, yeah. And actually, I know there's a John Cena interview you want to talk about, but since you mentioned that, Steve Austin was asked about John Cena's heel turn on the Chris Van Vliet show. And he said, everybody, well, not everybody, a lot of people wanted to see at least one John Cena heel turn in his run. It was okay, said Austin. It was okay, you know. I like him better as a babyface. I did want to see him as a heel at some point during his career. The way it was done, and I'm not knocking booking, he said, which is how you say, I'm knocking the booking here. Man, this far in, forget about it. Just let him do his thing. Effing kids love that guy. And then he talked about his own heel turn, which was
also terrible,
an atrocity. And he said, nobody wanted me to turn heel, but I was set on turning heel because I always liked working heel so much. It didn't work. It wasn't successful. We got a chance to push the character in different directions, different dimensions. I don't think we really rang up the box office doing that. No, you did not. But you know what? I got a lot of respect for Steve Austin because a lot of guys would blame this or blame that, or if there is somebody to blame, as in the case of the John Cena heel turn, not blame them and just like whatever. But Steve Austin, he had an idea. It freaking sucked. He realized it sucks. He admits it sucks. He admits he made a mistake. Great. So anyway.
Yeah, at least he throws himself under the bus and admits it, which you got to respect for sure.
We'll talk about the Cena interview you want to talk about after the break. Then we'll do Raw. Back in a moment, Observer Live. All right, this John Cena promo, Lance.
It was a clip from an interview. I didn't see the whole thing, so maybe there's a context that I won't find annoying. But it was the statement that he said, yes, wrestling is 100% fake. And I'm baffled that in 2026, there's a conversation about whether pro wrestling is fake or not. When he does media for Peacemaker, do they ask him if it's fake? Like, why are we talking about it? And then I just find it still, and maybe I'm too old school, I find it incredibly disrespectful and dismissive to say pro wrestling is 100% fake. Especially John Cena, who, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, was struggling in WWE, was potentially even discussed as being on the chopping block, before Steph saw him on a bus being himself and free rapping. And she thought, hey, this guy's actually really entertaining. Why don't we have him do what he's really like on television?
Where did you see this interview, by the way?
It was just a clip on Threads or something with the quote of, yes, wrestling's 100% fake. And again, maybe
I got people saying this was a fake parody page.
Oh, maybe it was, in which case then I got fooled.
Although it is one guy saying it, so. Well, listen, here's what we'll do. We're going to find out, and if it turns out it's fake, that'll be that. And if it's not, Lance is going to continue his rant on the next show.
Mm-hmm. Are the Globetrotters 100% fake, or do they actually shoot baskets?
Well, I mean, they're predetermined. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was saying, I'm fake, because 20 years of saying, never give up, and then he quit at the end. Let's talk about Raw.
Okay.
We had Kabuki Warriors versus Rhea and Io for the women's tag team titles. I thought this was a very good match, although the very first spot that Asuka and Io did, they botched. They just got lost.
Oh, the whipping off the ropes where you did a do-si-do and a half.
In the middle of getting lost, they actually got back on the same page. It was incredible.
Although I think every wrestler, at least at once in their life, has done the send them off the ropes and someone tries to reverse and the other person tries to unreverse. Everyone's done that spot.
My favorite is when you go to shoot somebody in and they're supposed to be a reversal, but your hands separate. And so then the other person does a full turn and then runs into the ropes for some reason. I like that one. So anyway, Kairi ended up, Io hit a dive onto Kairi. Rhea hit Asuka with the moonsault after the riptide combo. They got the pin. They won the tag team titles. This match in the main event had fantastic heat. The rest of the show, up and down. But man, the people were super into this match here. Very good match.
Quite a long match, too. It was quite solid.
Yeah, they got a lot of long matches lately, especially if you want to watch some SmackDown. Holy
they had,
smokes.
What, two commercial breaks, at least?
Yeah, we had Gunther being told to be a little more respectful tonight. And he's just for the third week sent out to talk.
And they don't like what he says, but they keep booking him to go talk.
Yeah, keep saying something disrespectful every week and we'll keep getting mad at you. So he does the exact same thing, but AJ interrupts. They have a stare down. AJ slaps him, asks him what he's going to do about it. Gunther does nothing, probably because he's wearing a six-figure Patek Aquanaut. Wasn't about to get into a fight.
A what?
It's a watch. He got this new watch that's like, it's over $100,000, and he's wearing it in the ring. And like every time that happens, it's like, this guy ain't taking no bumps. There's no physicality here tonight.
It's like when Austin comes out without the knee braces on.
Yes. Actually, Austin, he had a story once. He had some Rolex that he had, and he was doing a segment in the ring, and I guess like he was brawling with The Undertaker and his watch fell off, okay? Which is fine because they're like built to withstand falling off, except Undertaker saw on the mat and he freaking stomped on it and just freaking destroyed it. And like,
oops.
After that, Austin goes, I didn't wear nice watches of the ring anymore. So anyway, they'll be wrestling next week in Germany, AJ versus Gunther.
It'll be interesting to see who the babyface is.
Yeah, it will be, actually. Maxine and Becky Lynch for the Intercontinental title. They've had three matches. And
isn't this the fourth?
And I think this is the third.
They had the count out, the DQ, the title change.
Oh, yeah, I guess this would be the fourth. Yeah. This was the worst of all. This was not good. I mean, the crowd was dead. The work was bad. The spots were botched. And nobody cared.
And then
there
was that move.
Becky pins her with a bridge using the ropes right in front of the referee, which, like, I don't know how this referee even pretended like he couldn't see.
Well, he was busy telling Maxine to get her shoulder down.
God, this match was so bad. And Becky's a champ again. And, like, when it was over, it's one of those things where I could talk for hours. Like, everybody has these ideas about wrestling, okay? And the ideas aren't wrong in theory. But, like, the point is, I know Becky's idea was, I'm going to try to get Maxine over. I'm going to lose to her. I'm going to lose to her. I'm going to lose the belt to her. And then, eventually, I'll get the belt back. We're going to get this. But it's like, that's all. Everything is great in theory, but then there's reality. And, like, this feud and this, it's like, nobody got over in this feud. Maxine is no more over than she was before. If you watch this match, she's less over. Same with Becky. Nobody even cared about Becky. I mean, there were light Becky chants and everything like that. But, like, this ended and Becky got the belt back and now she's champion again and Maxine is not and she's walking away. And I just watched it and I just went, whatever your idea was, nobody got over. It's like, you're just not going to get somebody over when you're clearly losing to them and like putting them over, but you're just going to get it back in the end and get right back to where you were at the beginning. And I don't know, man.
This is where house shows could have made a real difference. Like if Maxine was working 12 matches a month with Becky, there's a chance she could really step up her game. But doing 5-minute matches on TV once a week isn't going to make anybody really improve.
No. You can train all you want, but you got to get out there in front of people and do a lot of matches. It's the only way you're going to get better. We had, I'm not going to talk about Unreal. Usos came out, did a promo. I think next week is the one-year anniversary of the Yeet Party where the crowd wanted an encore and they did it. So probably have that again next week. Jack interviewed Stephanie in the ring. She got jumped by Raquel. She got beat down. She's in a walking boot. I think this match is going to be for the Royal Rumble. So they got several weeks left. But they did a big-time injury angle with Stephanie.
And, did they explain the walking boot?
No. I guess just maybe she's hurt it in a match last week, allegedly. I mean, it's obviously not a real injury. I mean, they were just beating the heck out of her foot in that walking boot and stomping on it and smashing it in the mat. But that's a Rumble match, it looks like. Then we had Ray and Dragon Lee having a meeting backstage. The most underrated promo in all of WWE is Penta. I love this guy's promos. So he shows up and he's talking about that payaso Logan Paul, that clown, that pendejo Austin Theory. And Ray says, yeah, I've been dealing with these geeks for weeks. But you understand the tradition, honor, and respect of Lucha. And Penta says, anytime you need me, I'll be here for you. And it looks like we're going to have The Vision versus Ray, Dragon Lee, and Penta as something to do. And it is very interesting. Like, when Vince was here, all these idiots wanting Vince back, when Vince was here, like, if you couldn't speak English, like, you were just sunk. There's nothing, okay? So now, you know, if you've been watching the show, they got tons of people who can barely speak English or not speak it at all, and you are not held back for that. Now, it started where the people that couldn't speak great English would do promos backstage, and they would actually do subtitles. Well, now, they've clearly, they've made a change where these, especially those that speak Spanish, they will do promos in Spanish, and they will not translate them themselves, and they will not put up subtitles. So, like, you either know a little bit of Spanish, or you just got to try to figure out what's going on here. And the storylines are simple, so it's not hard to figure out. And they say enough that you can figure it out.
Well, it's relating the emotion that's the important part, and they do it great.
Yes. Liv and Lyra, Liv's first match back. This was also, it was okay at best. Just kind of a match. And Roxanne and Bayley got involved. And, of course, Lyra got distracted. Liv hit Oblivion, pinned her. It's her first match back on TV. She's done some house show matches. She looked fine. But the match itself was just sort of there. And then the CM Punk Braun Breaker match, 28 minutes they had for this match. And I'd say probably the first easy 10-12 minutes was very slow going. You know, Braun just holding him down and suplexing him every now and then and holding him down. And then finally, they got going with the CM Punk comeback. And that's when there was almost a near-death experience, or there was a near-death experience with the Breakensteiner. And then there's a ref bump. All the geeks hit the ring. Ends up with Austin Theory stomping Punk. The ref gets thrown in the ring. Punk kicks out. Bronson starts tearing apart the announce table. But then everybody, Dragon Lee, Penta, and Ray, they all run in and clear the ring. And then it's a one-on-one match. And, man, they went back and forth, and in the end, Braun just goes for a spear. CM Punk hits a knee, hits a GTS, pins him clean in the middle of the ring. So I think Braun Breaker's beating this guy for the title because they do like to do this where, you know, they got to give that babyface his clean win first because they're going to be, and it might even be a massacre the second time around.
And I'm very much in favor of doing the interference this way. Do it early, get the angle you need from the interference, and then get rid of them. So at the end of the match, it feels like something was accomplished, and it felt like a clean finish, even though there was all the angle and run-ins and interference and stuff early. Get it done, get it out, and let the match continue.
Person notes that they gave Asuka a push when Vince was there. That is true, but what's funny about Asuka is that Asuka speaks way better English than she does on the show. When she does her English promos on the show, she works her inability to speak English. She actually speaks far better English than she pretends to on television. So if she needed to speak, you know, she could have done it for Vince. But she's also incredible. So it's funny that
there's always that.
She's such awesome. A good worker that she's convinced people she can't speak English, even though she can. They also on social media, and this is just classic. You know, I had a big argument with Dave about that Nakamura thing on SmackDown, and I was like, you know, the reason they did that was to act like there was no way he could get Japan because he was needed on SmackDown. And they did a tease on social media. Adam Pearce, he said, it's Stranger Things tonight. We got three championship matches. Who's going to break the walls down? And, of course, everyone's expecting Jericho, and Jericho is a free agent. As far as I know, I think his contract was up January 1st. Fans are chanting Y2J during the show. He does not show up. And they, in fact, do have an explanation for that line, which was, it was a Stranger Things reference. Break the walls down. Come on. No Chris Jericho on the show.
Yet.
No. I actually, in the afternoon, got to thinking about it. And, you know, knowing how Jericho does his stuff, I mean, I expect that every week they'll have some tease. They'll have some line from a promo or some line from a song or something for weeks and weeks and weeks before he shows up. And this was the first one. Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Lance Storm is joining us here today. And for those of you that didn't make it through for the prediction show yesterday, I apologize, but we had over 1,400 busy signals during that show yesterday, people trying to get through with their predictions. And I should have said at the beginning of the show, let's get it going. Like, give us your prediction. Get off the line. We got to do a lot of them. But we got a lot of good predictions, and we shall find out next year who was a prognosticator and who was a fool. Also, whatever show, whatever platform you're listening to this free show on, if you sign up, you can get every show that we do. And I do like 15 shows every week, not just Observer Live, but Observer Radio, the Brian and Vinny show, tons of different shows, 84 podcasts a month for subscribers. And given we got Royal Rumble coming up and the road to WrestleMania and everything else going on in wrestling, it is a great time to sign up. So YouTube, video.f4wonline.com, you get the video. Spotify, which is f4wonline.com/Spotify, you can get the podcast and the videos. Apple, they will only allow us to upload the podcast, but you can stream them to your Apple device very easily. That's f4wonline.com/Apple. And WrestlingObserver.com, the main site, you get not only all of the podcasts, but every show we have ever done dating back to 2005. 21 years now worth of shows in the archives, thousands of Wrestling Observer newsletters. There's a new Observer every week, 50,000 words on professional wrestling every week, and archives dating back to 1991, as well as our wrestling board community and so much more. That's WrestlingObserver.com. So sign up today, and we got a lot to talk about, everybody. So join us. It's a lot of fun. Thanks, everybody on YouTube and Twitch for joining us here today. Thanks, Lance. Back tonight with the Brian and Vinny Show. We'll be talking at TNA Impact from 20 years ago this week. The debut of Sting is about to occur. Granny's going to join us and plenty more. And back tomorrow with Observer Live, Observer Radio, and After Dark. So we'll talk to you next time, Wrestling Observer Live.